Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. That you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. If you're in your bulletin, it's called the national pastime. What game am I talking about?
Baseball.
But, you know, national pastimes, professional leagues, paying millions and millions of dollars, the best we can do is go to a game anymore. But it used to be a time when we would play what was called sandlot baseball. Sandlot baseball. Anyone ever played sandlot baseball before? It's just getting together with a bunch of other kids. And as they got together, they would need to choose captains, and usually you'd choose the best two players to be the captains. And then they would do this. They would throw the bat to one of the captains, and they would catch the bat with one hand. And then the other captain would do this, and you'd go up the barrel of the bat until you get to the top, and whoever caps the top, what do they get to do? First pick. Now, the second captain will, sometimes you get the first pick and then the second captain gets the next two picks, so it kind of evens out. But whoever caps the bat first gets to choose first. And I've been a part of this, and I imagine many of you here have also been a part of this. And although this is for sandlot baseball, it can be done for lots of things. And this whole idea of capping and being chosen first, well, that applies to a lot of life. Sports at various levels, starting when you're knee-high to a grasshopper, right? You're chosen for teams. Debates, robotics, or other clubs in high school, you're chosen to participate. Will I belong to the in crowd? You're chosen. Various roles in theatrical productions, you try out for them. Will a college accept me? Interview for a job. Will I get the job? Will an armed service take me if you go that way? Will I be a part of a wedding party? You get chosen to be a part of that. Will I be a good parent? Well, that's a choice. Can I be in the band? Even a roadie for the band. We all try out for different things, and sometimes we get chosen and sometimes we don't. And within us, there's this little voice in our head that says, am I good enough? Am I good enough? And we note that in all of life, we're either being included or not included based on our abilities, based on our abilities. And as baseball captains are choosing players, and even if you're not necessarily the first player chosen, you certainly don't want to be the last. And yet as the last person, you still get to play. If there are too many players, you don't want to get left out altogether and have to watch from the sidelines. But what also is important is this. You want to play for the best captain, for the best team, the best captain, the one who always makes the play, the one who always hits the long ball, the one who always scores the winning run. Because if you're on the winning team, you belong to winners. In this morning's scripture, Jesus is the captain of a team of disciples and men he has chosen to join him. And now we realize or note that it's that in this scripture, it's early on in Jesus' ministry, and the disciples are still trying to decide who this rabbi is. Luke tells about the disciples and the crossing of the Sea of Galilee right before this morning's scripture, a lake that is 13 miles long, 8 miles wide, 33 miles in circumference, and 64 square miles of water. Not like the small lakes we have around here. So as they're crossing the lake, Jesus falls asleep and suddenly there's a squall coming up. Probably they are miles from the closest shoreline. And they are immediately fighting for their lives. It says that the boat is quickly filling up with water. They wake up Jesus. "Master, we're going to drown," Luke says. And Mark, who records the same story, says they said, "Don't you care that we're drowning?" Jesus stands, read the rest of it with me. "He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and the wind, and all was calm." Again, Mark records Jesus' words, not just that he said something, but Jesus' words were, "Silence! Be still!" Could you imagine that happening? Again, Mark records those words. Now, this is the guy that I want to play for. This is the guy that I want to be on his team. I want him to choose me to be on the team, to be a part of his wedding party. I'd be happy to be the lowest member of the roadies of his band. Wouldn't you? He hits the long ball every time. He always scores the winning run. I don't know of any other person but Jesus who can calm the wind and the waves with just a word. And it causes me to note that Jesus has true power. Jesus has true power to control the uncontrollable. And the disciples in fear and amazement ask, again, this is early in the ministry, right? "Who is this guy that even the wind and water obey him?" Now, after Luke writes about this incident on Lake of Galilee, he goes on to write that they get to the region of the Gerasenes, and as they step ashore, Jesus is met by a demon-possessed man. A demon-possessed man. Some today might say that he was just mentally ill. But Luke denotes that he's demonized, and we must understand three things about this particular situation. First is this, the man, he comes to Jesus. He comes to Jesus. Jesus doesn't seek him out. There are no crowds in which he sees and wants to be a part of to denote this guy's popularity. Something draws him to Jesus, and he's looking for help. He's looking for help. He desires to be free of what's inside of him, leading him to live an unhealthy and a really crazy life. He desires to be a part of a winning team. Nobody has helped him yet. Maybe this man, Jesus, maybe he can. Something about Jesus draws us to him. Because he's the captain. Maybe he stands a little bit taller. Maybe he's got, you know, those pictures of Jesus where they've got the halo kind of. Well, there's no halo, but maybe there's something about Jesus that just draws us to him. And we begin to understand that Jesus, he's the one with true power. True power. And secondly, we note that Jesus doesn't reject the man. The man comes to him and Jesus doesn't reject him. The man at best is an outcast. He is dealing with something that drives him away from humanity and is leading him to live this life of solitude. And people are at best scared of being around him. They chain him up so that they won't hurt him, so that he won't hurt them or maybe even so that he won't hurt himself. But Jesus doesn't reject him, but deals directly with the man's problems. Jesus knows that this is a child of his creating, as we are all children of God's creating. And he has come in this moment for this time. Jesus doesn't reject the man. And third, we note that Jesus knows what's going on. He knows the man is demonized. And Jesus commands the impure spirit. He speaks a word into his life. He demands the impure spirit to come out of the man, which opens up a really short conversation between Jesus and the demons. And again, there are two important things to notice. One, the demon seems to have control over the man. The demon seems to have control over the man. The demon leads the man, not the man controlling the demon, which we see happens biblically, but we also know it does not have to be this way when you read the Bible. You know why I know it doesn't have to be this way? Because I read the end of the story. Biblically, God wants us to be free from demonic influences, influences that want us to dissuade our relationship with Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, to make it as surfacey as possible, to not take Jesus too seriously or to dive too deeply into what it means to be a child of God. And we also note from this conversation that the demon knows who Jesus is and knows that Jesus has authority over him. The demon knows who Jesus is, calls him holy, the Son of the Holy Most High God. We see this played out time and again as Jesus commands the demon to name, to be named, and he calls himself Legion, and he casts the legion, the many demons, out of the man. And they do leave the man. This is true power. This is the one who created us, who calls us to be with him, who doesn't reject us when we get a little crazy in life. Man, that's the one that I want to play for. Now, there are some people here this morning who are probably thinking, Pastor, demons, really? We live in the 21st century. When people talk about facing their demons, you've heard that, you got to face your demons. They're really not talking about those little devils. You know, the fallen angels who sided with Lucifer in heaven and were cast down upon the earth by God for a time. The ones who will be thrown, if you read the rest of the story, into the lake of fire for all eternity when Jesus defeats them in the last days. It's really not that at all, they say. In fact, in today's world, facing your demons is about dealing with the repressed or unconscious aspects of your personality. You may have repressed these feelings for a variety of reasons and remain consciously unaware of them. Those are the demons that psychologists will talk about today. It's a very self-help-oriented kind of environment we live in. Yet what it is people who don't have the spiritual girding to understand that a spiritual realm exists all around us. Jesus, in this story, deals with demons. Paul talks and warns us about demons and how we battle not just against flesh and blood, what we can see, but against the principalities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The heavenly realms in Paul's day? This is the earth. Everything above the earth is in the heavenly realms. We laugh at the idea of a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other. Each one trying to direct us to do something that will either please God or please the devil. Please God or please ourselves. But it's really not that far from the truth. That a battle rages over humanity for people's very souls. Their allegiance to God. Their eternal destination to heaven. It is a battle that rages. And we have to note, I realize many people don't necessarily believe in demons. But friends, know this, they believe in you. They believe in you, according to Jesus, according to Paul, and according to the rest of the New and Old Testament. And their chief goal, again, is to keep you from Jesus. And if they can't keep you from Jesus, they want you to be a lousy or a lukewarm at best friend to Jesus. How are you doing today in your relationship with the Lord? And they want you to be lukewarm with the church. God's way of helping others to come to know Him. Yet in this story, the man does come to Jesus, and Jesus does cast out the demons that are controlling his life into a herd of nearby pigs. And in doing so, he sets this man free to live his life, to truly begin to live his life as God intended him to live it. Don't you want to live life as God intended you to live it? To play for the captain of all creation? The one with true power? And the herders of the pigs, the demons who are cast in to watch, the herders watch them all flee down the steep bank into the lake and drown. This had to be quite a sight. It caused quite a stir. The men tending the flock reported immediately to the townspeople and those around the countryside. Now, if someone came to you knocking on your house and said, "Come out quick, there's a man lifting 10,000 pounds down the street," wouldn't that intrigue you? Wouldn't you want to go see, especially if it was happening in the street? You'd stick your head out at least that much, probably go out on your lawn, out to the side of the street, look down. Maybe you would walk down the street, but you would have to know what was going on. You'd have to check it out for yourself. And that's what the townspeople do with Jesus. They come out and the owners of the herd would be mad because of their loss of income, and they come out and they're like, "What happened?" As they see pigs floating in the water. But then, on top of that, when they come to inquire of Jesus and what happened, read it with me. Can you give me a down arrow there? Maybe not. Let me read it with you. Goes on in Scripture and says, "They found the man from whom the demons had gone out." They knew who he was. "They found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they, who saw this, became afraid." You see, the man who had the demons, he was the one with the power, breaking chains, creating havoc in their lives. And they were afraid. The crazy man was now fully clothed, sitting in his right mind, and they were scared. What's going on? Someone who had greater power, greater authority, had come into this man's life and made the demonic in this man leave. The man was whole again. It's the same kind of fear that the disciples just experienced on the lake. Who is this that by a word can calm waters and wind? You see, this is a healthy fear. This is the kind of fear we need to have, because there is one with true power. There is one who can command the wind and the waves. There is one who has authority over all creation, and we should be afraid that he won't choose us. We should be afraid that, worse than that, because I think he always chooses us, worse than that is we'll turn away from him. We'll say we don't want to be on that team. We'll walk away from him. Because I know as Jesus chooses us, I know the demons are trying to get us to be on their team. But Jesus capped the bat first, and he gets first choice. And he chooses you and me to be on his team. We know that evil exists in the world. Just read or turn on the news and you'll hear about it. Kids bullying other kids, especially through cyber attacks now, getting so vicious that some kids would rather end their lives than live with the constant attacks. Mass shootings that happen for what seem to be insignificant reasons, if there is any reason at all. Police being ambushed because of the uniform they wear. People are citing violence against each other by at best telling half-truths, if not outright lies. Parents treating their kids indifferently at best or with emotional and physical abuse. Spouses too. You don't have to look far to see the influence of the devil or of demonic influences. We have been chosen to be on Jesus' team. To be on the captain who has the true power in life. As you engage with God this week, ask God when you're tempted which direction you should go. I want to play ball with you, Lord. How should I handle this particular situation? Go ahead. I dare you, say it out loud. Lord, how should I handle this today? If you already know the direction you should go and yet you're hedging, then ask the Holy Spirit of God to give you strength to do the right thing. It's okay. I dare you to say it out loud. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to do what's right. An easy way to do this is to stop telling false or half-truths. We do that just to avoid the stress of the moment, don't we? But it's not of God. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to tell the truth. Or take some time this week to honor God and honor others in your life by uplifting them where you can. You know, when you're with others and you want to say something about someone else, if it's not uplifting or positive, don't say it. You know what the Bible calls it? Gossip. Just don't do it. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to keep my words positive and uplifting about other people. Or maybe this week you need to decide to forgive and to not allow yourself to become angry about someone else or some other situation. You see, forgiveness is a choice we make, not based on feelings. Oh, you know, I'll forgive them when I feel like it or when I get there. God says, in obedience to me, you need to forgive. Do I follow the one with true power or do I not? You know, there are other things like envy. People envy things, looks of others, material possessions, their job. Just stop envying. Work with what you have. Envy is not of God. The man whom Jesus healed, the story goes on to say he wanted to go with Jesus, to be with Jesus, because Jesus had the true power, the ultimate power. He was the best player, and the man he knew that he would be most safe with. Jesus can get you out of a lot of trouble, but you have to want to go with Jesus. To be with Jesus, to trust Jesus. Because remember, Jesus is where the true power is. With Jesus, He brings healing, not chaos. With Jesus, there is truth, not lies. With Jesus, there is hope and love and acceptance. With Jesus comes the ultimate power to live a full and satisfying life in this world. And in the world to come. Trust Jesus. He has the true power. And He wants you to be on His team. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful that you have chosen us, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to be your players, to work out, to understand who you are, to be in your word, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to follow you even when we are unsure where you're taking us. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to be your team players, to draw others, to help others to be the kind of people you desire them to be. For you have the power. You have the ability to keep us, protect us, and defend us. And we ask for all of this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.